Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass, doing a fantastic job as always. We'll get back to the Titans here in just a few minutes, and John McClain will join us at 2 o'clock today. But the AP Top 25, the preseason poll,
yes,
is out, which means, Joe, we're almost there.
Yeah, we are, right?
It is almost time.
We are 12 days out from the start of college football. Now, you know, it's funny, the AP poll, our top 25, once it hits, what, mid-October, it's pretty irrelevant, right?
Yeah.
But lay it on us, Chase. Who's
the preseason AP top 25? You can go ahead and play it. That's fine. Number one, for the first time ever, I believe, the Texas Longhorns.
Wow.
Are the preseason
ever? That's
top
interesting.
25. Penn State, Jimmy Frank at number two.
Oh, God.
The Ohio State University
no!
at three.
I wanted a 1-2 to start the year. That's okay. All right.
Clemson at four.
Woo!
And the Georgia Bulldogs at five.
It's a pretty good top five right there. Clemson's the one that nobody's talking about.
Clemson, I'm afraid it's about to hurt people. Like, I think Dabo
fan base.
I think Dabo is I don't know. I think Dabo's about to be like, oh, did you forget about us?
Good.
Then it's Notre Dame, Oregon, Alabama, LSU, and Miami, the top 10.
So Alabama comes in at eighth. They're my pick to win it all this
Oregon
year.
Got a first place vote, by the way, as did Georgia.
So opening season, first weekend, we got 1-3, 4-9. I love it.
11, Arizona State, Illinois, South Carolina, Michigan, Florida, SMU, Kansas State, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Indiana.
Indiana top 20, what a joke.
Notice I haven't mentioned a certain team yet.
I know. So 18 is Oklahoma. Gators are 15. Carolina sit there at 13, not bad. I mean, there's good placement there. Carolina's got a chance to come out of the gate really strong. That opening game versus – who are they playing opening game? It's in Atlanta.
Oklahoma?
No, South Carolina. That opening game. Tennessee plays that Saturday in South Carolina.
Syracuse, yeah.
Is it North Carolina on the Sunday? I don't remember.
No.
We had the damn guy on from
Hang on.
The-
I think we're airing the game. Hang on.
Peach Bowl.
It is Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech. There we go. Thank you, Chase.
That's what it is.
All right. Continue. I'm sorry.
21, Ole Miss. 22, Iowa State. 23, Texas Tech. 24, the Tennessee Volunteers. And 25, Boise State.
So we had been seeing rumors, Tennessee 15, 16, 17. I guess not having a quarterback will knock you down.
Yeah. And you know what? If you're a Vols fan, don't be mad. Just say okay.
Yep.
Because here's the deal. You don't know.
No.
We don't know how this team's going to look this year.
Nope.
So don't let it bug you.
And you made the top 20. I mean, you made the preseason top 25.
Yes.
So it's not bad to put it there. So, I mean, so let's go Texas, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, South Carolina, Florida, Oklahoma, A&M, Ole Miss, Tennessee. So 10 of your 16 are in the top 25.
Correct.
Not bad.
All right, so I saw this over the weekend, and I was like, you know what? I want to have a little fun with this. The first ever AP poll was released week one of 1936, and they did 20. It was the top 20.
Will you please run down 20-1 for me?
Yes.
I'm curious.
Minnesota, Duke.
At 20?
No, this is number one and number two.
Okay.
Yeah, number one, Minnesota. Number two, Duke.
All right.
Number three, Army. Number four, Northwestern. Yeah. Purdue. Southern Cal. Notre Dame. Washington. Pittsburgh. Yale.
That was the top 10.
That was the top 10.
All right.
11, Duquesne. St. Mary's.
Yes.
LSU. Texas A&M. Nebraska. Fordham. Holy Cross. Tulane. SMU. And Marquette.
This is amazing.
That was the first ever AP poll.
And what year was this?
1936.
I love this.
So, and we could do this every day, have some fun with this. So I asked ChatGPT, which is the AI program. I said, can you predict the 1936 college football national champion using today's current 12-team playoff rules? Show me the result of each playoff game. And so retro college football playoff in 1936.
Okay.
So first thing it did was give me the final AP poll, just 1 through 12. Minnesota went 7-1 as the Big Ten champion. LSU went 9-0-1 as the SEC champion.
Always strong.
Pittsburgh 8-1-1.
Okay.
Washington 7-1-1 and won the Pacific Coast. Duke went 9-1 and won the Southern Conference. Fordham was 5-1-2 on the season. Alabama 8-0-1.
Yeah.
Northwestern at 7-1. Notre Dame 6-2-1. Santa Clara 7-1. Nebraska won the Big Six at 7-1, and Villanova at 7-2. That was the top 12.
It's so great comparing it to where these schools are now.
Yes.
All right.
Now the seeds, I guess I should say, the first four seeds, Minnesota, LSU, Washington, and Duke all received a first round bye.
Okay.
Then it was Pittsburgh, Fordham, Alabama, Northwestern, Notre Dame, Santa Clara, Nebraska, and Villanova.
All right.
Your first round matchups are as follows. I feel like I should do it like this.
1936, yeah. Alabama took on Fordham. Do it. Keep going. You got this.
The 12 seed Villanova headed to Pittsburgh to take on them. Pitt's defense dominates, and they win 27-7 to advance. Nebraska on the road at Fordham. The seven blocks of granite hold on. Fordham wins 13-6.
It only took them 4 days by train to get to Fordham.
Santa Clara headed to Tuscaloosa to take on the seventh seed Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama's ground game was too strong, and the Tide win it 21-14. Notre Dame against Northwestern, a rivalry as old as time, as Northwestern edges the Irish in a defensive slugfest 10-7.
So it gives us down to the final eight, right?
Yes. Okay. Now the quarterfinals. Pittsburgh against the Duke Blue Devils. Pitt's power run game outmuscles Duke, and they win 20-14.
Okay, Pitt's in the semifinals.
Fordham takes on Washington, and the cross-country trip favors the Huskies. They win 17-6.
Good Lord, I had to take a month to get there. All right, so Pitt, Washington.
Yep. An all-SEC showdown pits Alabama against LSU in Baton Rouge. LSU survives 14-13.
Wow, okay. All right.
What a thriller. Northwestern takes on Minnesota, a rematch of the regular season. Minnesota repeats with a 21-7 win.
Oh, we got Pitt versus Washington?
No. Minnesota versus Pitt.
Minnesota versus Pitt. Okay.
Yep. And then Washington versus LSU.
All right.
So Minnesota grinds out the clock and wins 16-7 over Pittsburgh.
So the Gophers to the finals.
And the other game, LSU, speed and passing game prevail. They beat Washington 20-10.
So Minnesota and LSU in the national championship.
1-2.
Oh, I love this.
Minnesota's line dominates the second half. They win the game 19-13 to become the 1936 retro college football playoff national champion, the same as it was in history.
Was it really?
Yep. According to this.
Okay. I pulled up LSU's 1936 team to look at
it. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, that is something.
David Big Rock says that this accent has to be mandatory now.
It should be. Anytime you go past 1950. It was the LSU Tigers taking on Santa Clara in Tulane Stadium that year, and Santa Clara won 21-4. And real, this is the real part of this.
So Santa Clara beat Minnesota.
Beat LSU in the Tulane Stadium in New Orleans.
Oh.
So I just put in the 1936 LSU team.
So, but the 1936 champion was, I should have checked this, was Minnesota, I think.
It could happen again. You just got back from there, buddy.
I did. I was right by their campus. It was Minnesota. Actually, this is funny. Minnesota, Pittsburgh, LSU, and Duke all claim championships.
I'm surprised Alabama didn't claim one, too, as well there. If you're on Wikipedia,
Larry Kelly was the Heisman winner that year. You really liked him.
Look at the offensive scheme it says for Minnesota 1936.
What does it say?
On Wikipedia, the single wing.
Ah, the single wing.
Bernie Bierman got the Minnesota Golden Gophers rolling there. God, that was, you know what's funny is that we take for granted now, like, ESPN and the apps, and the, but back then, newspaper, man.
Yeah, let me read this from October 17th, better known as the third Saturday in October. Minnesota defeated Michigan 26-0. Santa Clara won at San Jose State 20-0. And in Birmingham, Alabama and Tennessee played to a 0-0 tie.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, good. If you look at the league that year also, the team that came in last, Sewanee, was 0-5 in 1936 in the SEC. Tulane was in there, too, Georgia Tech. Oh, that guy, you got so much fun with that chat GPT all day long.
Well, I'm kind of thinking we could do this every day for a different year.
That's pretty cool.
You could give a year and do – like, I'd be curious of – what was the year that Auburn went undefeated and didn't get put in the BCS championship game? Was that 04?
04, yes.
I'd be curious on that.
That was a good team.
So, a little fun as we get ready for college
football. I mean, you go back and look at this and these games and – like LSU that year, LSU played at Vandy. 10,000 people showed up at Dudley Field for that game. They won 19-0. It's just, I mean, it was pure back then.
Can you imagine, like, because everybody showed, you know, now everybody shows up in T-shirts and jerseys and their colors. At that stadium, they were probably all in, like, toque coats and
and the hats,
tea coats and hats
in a billion degrees.
Yeah,
no, I ain't doing that. That's crazy.
But I'm here for the Commodores. Another touchdown for Vandy.
And think about that too. That was before World War II. I mean, that was before the world changed, and all that happened after that. So, man, you need to travel by. I mean, did they do plane? I think they did trains, right?
Trains. Yeah.
Can you imagine going from Washington to Fordham on a train with no internet, no phone?
It also makes you wonder why some of these teams, some of these schools, I should say, you know, got rid of their football or didn't put as much of an emphasis on their football program. Or was it just because as more of the bigger schools became the bigger schools?
Had to be. I mean, look at Sewanee. Sewanee couldn't have competed versus LSU and Alabama.
See, people, that's one of my favorite trivia questions of, you know, the founding members of the SEC. Everybody, I think, gets Georgia Tech and Tulane, but nobody gets Sewanee.
Yeah, right. And so you can't keep up with the LSUs and the Alabamas and the Georgia. You just couldn't do that. So they kind of said, peace out. We're gone. And Sewanee went and did their own thing. Head coach down there, Andy McCollum, former MTSU head coach.
Yep. So do you think Texas is the team to beat?
Yes. But.
Let's see.
Game one.
Let's see.
I'm really – the Clemson thing at four really got me. I thought maybe 9, 10, 11, but the top four from people who really know what's going on.
Cade Klubnik's good.
He is.
They got a quarterback.
Tennessee beat him down in the Orange Bowl a couple years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, he's stayed. He's developed.
Has he still not gotten a guy from the portal? Dabo?
I think he did finally jump into it this year. I need to double check that, but I think he –
I think it was the service academies and then Clemson. That was the last I knew of doing things like that.
Yeah.
Look, he's going to stick to his guns, love him or hate him or not, but he's won multiple national championships. No other football coach current has. Am I right on that? I think I am. Saban ducked out, Urban Meyer ducked out. Yeah, that'd be it.
Yeah, that seems right.
In Power Four.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com. We'll have more coming here on the Chase and Big Joe Show presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel on this Monday, 1025 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game. Nashville's best deal of the week is one of my favorite places, Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Join Fat Bottom this Saturday for their Lucky 13 anniversary party at 844th Avenue North in Nashville, in the nations, or just outside of it. It's a full day of casino-themed fun, live tattoos from Black 13, face painting, balloon art game, and, of course, ice-cold beer, and they do have some good beer over there. Get a $100 gift card half off while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Plus, don't miss their Lucky 13 anniversary party this Saturday at Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Go check that out. Chase and Big Joe here on this Monday. Let's take a couple of phone calls before we keep moving on. Kenny the Mailman has been waiting patiently and has a question for you, Big Joe.
Hello, good friends. We missed you, Chase. Welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back. Thank you, Kenny.
Joe, I've been taking mental reps to try to learn your terminology. But for the life of me, now, I did go to Cone High School, and our valedictorian had a B-minus average, okay?
Okay, I got you.
But how in the world do you hatch a Wigan? I still haven't figured
it out. It's a family show.
You got to be very careful not to injure your groin when you do that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, on top of that, our buddy Chase was claiming wide receivers were lying about inches.
Yep.
And ironically, it came right after a commercial for legal cannabis through the mail in Nashville.
There you go. But do you deliver that? You deliver that.
I will not participate in such notions.
Look, all wide receivers are men. That means they lie. So there you go about inches.
Do y'all try out all your commercial products?
That's a great question.
Chase did. The ones we did.
Well, listen, we absolutely enjoy.
As a wise man once said, I hate to do this, but I got to run.
Well, listen, y'all's blunders are better than the other shows, whatever they come up with.
All right, thank you, friends.
Thank you, Kenny. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. That's a good one. Dylan wants to weigh in. Dylan, what's up?
Hey, guys, I actually just had a sports trivia question for you. I just wanted to know if you guys knew the most punts ever recorded in a college football game.
The most punts? Oh, my gosh. No, what is it in the last 20 years, 30 years, or was it like something happened in 1837?
1939.
Most punts. I'm going to say most punts. 22.
You got a guess, Chase?
I have no idea.
77.
What?
And it's Texas Tech versus Centenary? I don't know. Apparently it was rainy and muddy, and basically they both – the strategy was to punt it far and have the other team's returner fumble so they'd be closer to the end zone because nobody could move the ball and score. And it ended in a 0-0 tie.
Oh, I just looked it up now. Yeah, Centenary versus Texas Tech in a torrential downpour. Oh, this is
Centenary.
Great. Played in this is great. I love.
Thanks for the call, Dylan. Appreciate
thank you, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Oh my gosh, 77 punts. That'll never be topped again. Thank God. Get rid of all punters.
An interesting, I guess, headline that probably doesn't have too much behind it, but, again, caught my interest, that John Gruden, quote, would die to coach in the SEC as he looks to get back into football.
Yeah.
If you are, I mean, let's just say any college program, would you take a flyer on John Gruden to come be your coach and run your program? I mean, you look at the following he has through Barstool and what he does with the opening the gear and all that stuff. I mean, obviously he connects with that generation that you would be recruiting. So it's not an awful idea.
Well, let's spin this over to one Dr. Crane in Mississippi State. John Gruden, no offense, is not taking the Mississippi State job, no matter how much he wants to coach in the SEC.
No, he'll
take
it.
And he knows why.
No, he'll take it. He'll take that SEC job, 100%. Mississippi State is absolutely bottom of the barrel. But you know what? They'll give him a free cowbell. They'll give him unlimited food and drinks. Looks like the guy loves to eat, so that's a good thing. But he knows his X's and O's, and maybe he knows how to corral some cattle.
I can tell you who would just take that job in a heartbeat because he knows as soon as he walked on campus in Starkville, he is God. Jimbo Fisher.
Could be. I tell you where Gruden would go. Gruden's smart. You go to a state where there's only one football team.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Arkansas.
Yeah.
John Gruden in Arkansas would be a dynamite hit.
Jay Gruden would probably be on the staff.
Jay Gruden with him. John Gruden to Arkansas would get it done. If you go to Mississippi State, you're competing with – you're behind Ole Miss and everything that you do. Right, Dr. Crane, for the most part?
Sure. I don't want to admit it, but sure.
You don't have to. I mean, if you go anyplace else, maybe Georgia. He keeps hanging out at Georgia quite a bit. He likes Georgia.
But if you want to put your stamp on things, go to Mississippi State. Beat
Ole
Miss every single time.
I agree.
It's an SEC job.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, people used to laugh at Vanderbilt and, like, it's an SEC job.
When Saban was kicking ass at Bama back in the mid-teens, like, he could turn anybody around. Go to Vandy. Can you go to Vandy and see if you could turn it around? See if you can turn, and then I'm going to put you at the highest pedestal of being the greatest coach. But if you're Gruden and you're making all these overtures about doing that, go to Arkansas. I mean, that you're the big dog. There's a lot of fans there. You'll be number one in the state. That's where you go.
He said, quote, "The only reason I really came here is I want to coach again. I'm being honest with you. I do not bleep either. I want to coach again. I'd die to coach in the SEC. I would love it. I would bleep and love it."
Okay. The Jimbo thing's interesting.
He's going to be back.
What does it say on our board right there?
It says Jimbo sniffing around.
That's exactly what he's doing. Look, the money's great and all that, but at the end of the day, he's a coach. All these guys
get that
are
money
coaches.
No matter what.
Oh, right? Yeah. But these guys just want to coach football. So I think Jimbo lands, if not at Mississippi State, in the ACC somewhere, kind of in it but not in it. Like nowhere in the SEC.
Arkansas could be interesting for him too. That's not a bad – again, that's a step down from where he was, from Texas A&M and Florida State.
Okay,
let's just play a hypothetical game.
I like this.
Things don't go well in Tallahassee this year. Mike Norvell's gone. Do you think they would bring him back?
Not at all.
You think
them in a mess.
He burnt that bridge too much?
He burnt that bridge and got out of there and went to A&M. I don't think they bring him back at all. I don't. And I think
the fan base would.
I don't know, man. He's not well-liked. I mean, I'm telling you, the guy is not well-liked. And the A&M thing now, how well Elko's doing down there. And, I mean, Elko took some pot shots at Jimbo in that SEC documentary, which was, you know, about we coming to win championships, not talk about him. But I think he ends up at an ACC school and then kind of works his way back up. That's me. I don't have any insight in anything other than I can't stand him. Well, no, but I think Gruden would be good for football. But Gruden right now is living the life. I mean, he's living the life. The box opening now has become a must-watch on football. I told you when he sent one to our buddy at Eastern Kentucky, Walt got all these phone calls and text messages, like hundreds. Like, you see what John Gruden did? He did it for Tennessee Tech. He did it for Tennessee State. I mean, he does it everywhere. People love that John Gruden's doing this. Now, there's a lot of people that don't like John Gruden because of what happened, and I understand that too.
Yeah.
I understand that. So, that's Gruden. He's going to have to do a lot of mea culpa on this. So,
okay.
We'll see.
If in the ACC, I could see him at like a Virginia Tech or a Georgia Tech. Something like that.
Jimbo?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, maybe there's a lot. NC State. I mean, I think he keeps it in the South. I don't think he goes any farther than Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could see him in and up at, I don't know, I mean, USF. Yeah, outside the ACC, but like USF or an FAU, which seems to be a.
Would Miami even consider him if Cristobal just flames out?
Maybe. I mean, the guy can recruit.
Yeah,
he knows the area. He knows the area well.
That's an interesting one. But I think like a Mississippi State or Arkansas, you know, to keep him in the SEC.
Yep, he'll land somewhere. He wants to coach.
Or Oklahoma.
I think somebody goes to Oklahoma that you hadn't thought about.
Who?
I evidently.
Because I think that job is open by the end of the year.
Evidently, they've mended fences. What I've been told.
Heupel?
And Stoops. That's the rumor mill.
Interesting.
You always want to go home.
Well, let's just put it into the universe then. Josh Heupel goes to Oklahoma. John Gruden goes down to Calhoun's there by the river with Peyton Manning. And they get that deal done, baby.
Gruden
goes to Knoxville.
I think Gruden would coach for free. Could you imagine if that happened?
Oh, my God. I would love that just for the circus that came with it.
Absolutely. Heupel goes home. Good for him. You always want to go home. He goes back home.
Denver would Vols fans be mad at him if he did that?
No. Nope.
You say yes, Dr. Crane?
Absolutely.
I kind of lean. Okay. Let's talk. Now we've hit on something. Venables just flames out and Oklahoma's open this year, which I think it will be, because I think they're realizing the SEC is a lot tougher than they thought it was going to be. And Stoops and Heupel are good, and Heupel goes home and takes that job. Would Vols fans understand, or would they be like, oh, of course, he doesn't get the quarterback fixed and just leaves us up and, you know, just sitting here? 615-737-1025. John McClain joining us at the top of the next hour. It's Chase and Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Who's doing this? Sitting Whitesnake. You can talk.
It's live remastered.
Live remastered. Gotcha. Speaking of good music, Dr. Crane, Songwriter Night this Wednesday from 5 to 8 at Bar Lines, powered by Three Ring Circus. Again, Songwriters Night this Wednesday night from 5 to 8 at Bar Lines. Here's the best part about it. It's free, featuring great songwriters like Anthony Billups, Sidney Mack, Wade Fitzgerald, Jackson Peden, Curtis John. Again, if this bar could talk, songs and stories from Bar Lines, Wednesday night, 5 to 8. It's free. Chase and I will be down there Thursday at Bar Lines on the big stage, but you can come down there Wednesday night, hang out, and have a good time. We love the Omni, and we love Bar Lines.
Yes, sir. Michael and Madison also corrected us earlier. We're stupid. Kirby Smart has won 2 national
titles.
Thank you.
So. This is not on you, Chase. This is on me.
I should have known that, too. JD says John Gruden will be the next coach at LSU. Ben also says that after Brian Kelly gets fired. I think LSU is going to be good this year. But I was also on that boat of thinking that
right?
You know, maybe he's out after this year. After talking with people more in the know, Caroline Fenton, I think it would be next year because they owe him a lot of money. Not that that usually matters.
He goes 4-8, he's gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, if, like, they have a 9 or 10 win season, you know, that probably gets them in the playoff. But you know, if it's that, then it's the next year.
Let me ask you this. And we got a lot of response on our text line, 615-737-1025 over Josh Heupel. If you're John Gruden, LSU or Tennessee? I know where he goes. Where would you go?
If I'm him, I would take Tennessee.
He's going to because he loves Tennessee.
Because I think.
But that's a 50-50.
I think that's a better job for him. I think he just fits there. He fits the fan base. There would be not necessarily patience, but like excitement with him. LSU is just a different job. I mean, here's the thing. Some of it's their own fault. Like, you know, I know Ed Orgeron wasn't the best coach in the world, and all the stars aligned for that team to come together for them to win that championship.
Oh, yeah.
But you won a national championship with what many consider to be the greatest college football team of all time under Ed Orgeron.
Mm-hmm.
He was also the perfect coach for LSU. Like, he fit you. And
that's why Gruden would be a great fit at LSU.
You think so?
I'll tell you what, man. I mean, he would go in there.
I tell you what, man. He's just good football players.
I mean, he's
good
crazy.
Football team.
He's crazy as a Cajun. I mean, beautiful. Yeah. Which is a beautiful marriage of those guys. But look, he started at Tennessee. His wife is from East Tennessee.
Yeah.
I got property up in East Tennessee. I mean, he would be. But I think Heupel going back to Oklahoma would be something. I mean, if he's repaired the damage, him and Stoops. Ride back into town.
So Dylan asks a really good question.
Yes.
If you're a Titans fan, right now today, would you rather have Brian Callahan or John Gruden as your head football coach?
John Gruden, 100%.
John Gruden going away.
Yeah.
Now, and that's – here's the other thing. If the Titans job opens up, I would look at him. I don't know if she would.
No.
But I would.
There's baggage. That
I know there's baggage. There's baggage, but – I mean, sometimes, look, the best coaches usually have baggage.
This is different kind of baggage.
I know.
I mean, there's a lot of forgiveness that's got to take place
for
this to happen.
I know.
And he knows it. He knows it. I mean, that's why he stayed out of the public eye for a couple of years and did it. But I still think, and, you know, you could laugh at me, I still think he is the most influential person in football
He's one of them.
I mean, you watch those videos. Of everybody just gravitates towards. I mean, he's like a goodwill ambassador for it.
When he was he under Majors or Fulmer?
Majors.
So back in the
86, 87, 88, right in there.
Gotcha.
That time.
8389 talking about Jimbo Fisher. As an FSU fan, he's burned that bridge in Tallahassee.
He has. I mean, he left them after the 2017 season, and then
mm-hmm.
they spiraled and went out of there, and he got out and did what he needed to do and left town, man.
3722 said, I would go from hating everything Tennessee is to wearing that crappy orange proudly if Gruden got that job.
And then what quarterback would not want to play for John?
Sure.
And you give him an pretty much unlimited budget, you get any quarterback in the country to come there.
Tommy says, as a Vols fan, I'd love Gruden, but boys, Tennessee won't let Heupel go. They'll outpay Oklahoma. I don't know. Now, he has to accept it. There is a price to pay about going home.
Mm-hmm.
And the way things ended for Heupel at Oklahoma was not how he wanted to be remembered. I mean, he won a national championship there? Or
did not.
No,
he did. He did. 2000.
In 2000.
He came in second in the Heisman Trophy.
Second in the Heisman. I mean, he's beloved. If there's an opportunity, that'd be hard to compete against.
Only thing, I mean, you just look, hey, what happened to Scott Frost?
Yeah, he said it best, don't take the wrong job. I mean, it's hard. There's an extra pressure. I mean, Clark Lee's experiencing it right now.
Well, Jeff Brohm at Louisville. Others that happen that go on that return home, and it's good. It's either really, really good or it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've seen both examples of that.
I mean, Majors was successful at Tennessee. Spurrier was successful at Florida. Fulmer was successful at Tennessee. I mean, there are obviously examples of where it works.
Watson Brown was not at Vanderbilt.
Watson Brown was terrible at Vanderbilt.
He was. Mike Shula. Mike Shula gets a lot of hate at Alabama, but he righted the ship.
And he's also the offensive coordinator for a team that a lot of people like right now.
He righted it. Where is he now?
South Carolina.
Okay. That's right. Thank you. I should know that. He righted the ship at Alabama. Wasn't great. Wasn't awful.
Yeah.
Got them going, and they brought in Saban after that. So, I don't know, it's interesting, and it's a great topic to bring up, but if that happens, then of course you go after Gruden.
9355 said, if the Vols had a season like last or better and he decided to leave, I think the majority would understand. If they flop and he leaves, they would absolutely hate him. The Vol for Life fan base turned Nico jerseys when he left. It absolutely would be taken personally. I could not agree more with that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I think that is why. Vols fans are in a league of their own when it comes to being resentful. No way his name doesn't get trash nonstop if he leaves. Go Dogs.
But I don't think he cares. You're going home to Oklahoma if you leave. I don't think it matters. If I'm Oklahoma and it goes south with Brent Venables and they go 5-7, that's the first phone call I make. It's to Josh Heupel.
4704 says, the Titans only hire first-time football coaches. Have they ever hired a coach with previous coaching experience as the head coach? They have. Ken Wisenhunt and then Mike Mularkey.
Yep.
Ken Wisenhunt coached Arizona to a Super Bowl loss against Pittsburgh. Mike Mularkey was previously with Buffalo and Jacksonville.
That's a great question. That's a great point. I mean,
But those are the only ones.
That I know. That's right.
Fisher was a first-time head coach. Munchak was a first-time head coach. Vrabel was a first-time head coach. Yep. And Brian Callahan.
That's right.
And before that, Jack Pardee had been a head coach, I think.
I don't remember. I know he played for the Redskins. I don't think he coached them at all. I don't know. I don't remember. It's a good point.
Bum Phillips?
No. Bum's first job was Houston. Then he Glanville? Went to the Saints. Glanville went from Houston to Atlanta.
Yeah, so he was first time.
Yep, that's right.
And then I don't know really before that.
Yep.
Any of those. So that's a good point. That's a good observation. That'd be a question for John.
That would be.
McClain.
Is John on today?
He's coming up at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
John, we'll get McClain back into the Titans and their preseason loss to the Bucks. What were some things we liked, and what were some things that we want to see differently this week against Atlanta, plus John at 2 o'clock? It's Chase and Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game. That was Brian Callahan after the game the other night. Welcome back in, Chase and Big Joe here on this Monday, reacting to the Titans' loss to Tampa Bay, 29-7 down in Tampa Bay. Cam Ward, 5 of 8 for 67 yards, no touchdowns, but they did score a touchdown with Tony Pollard on the ground on that drive. Only two series for Cam Ward, so not much on the tape by any means. We'll talk to John McClain coming up here in a few minutes at 2 o'clock. Do want to pass on our well wishes. Definitely thinking about our man Jim Wyatt, of course, does a great job covering the Titans for TennesseeTitans.com. He tweeted out earlier that His father passed away early this morning and said, "My dad was my hero, my role model. I will miss him every day. Jimmy, we're thinking about you. We love you. Certainly know that pain." And you know what? With and Jim was one of the first people to reach out to me when my dad passed away 4 years ago. So, thinking about you, Jimmy, and hope to see you back at the field soon.
Yeah, his dad, Judge Wyatt, just a good man, and we love Jim and his family and all that. And it's tough, you know. We've had Jim on our Mother's Day show to talk about what his mom meant to him, and it's not easy. And so, yeah, our prayers for Jim. And Jim's on the road, you know. He's away. He's down in Tampa with the team, and we'll come back for all this. So it means a lot to us. Jim's a good man, friend of the show, and we're sorry for this.
Yeah, absolutely. With, you know, with Cam Ward, okay, there was some good, there was some bad, there was some almost bad. You know, he had the two missed throws, two incompletions on the first series where they went three and out. He had the one throw that really should have been an interception. He got away with one, but he had a 27-yarder to Calvin Ridley.
Yes,
that I thought was good. There were a couple that, you know, Ridley adjusted on. Overall, I think he's a rookie that's still in progress.
Well, I mean, more work this week with the Falcons, more work next week against the Vikings, and then it starts with the Broncos. But I mean, there's a lot of promise here that's going on. We were watching the highlights when we went to the break. ESPN was showing him, you know, when he's got time in the pocket, he can deliver.
Which now, he did. He did have.
You could say that about every quarterback. I understand that. But, man, that pass was dead on to Ridley. He's got the arm. You know what he's got and what he can do. And I just think give him a little time to throw the ball, get comfortable. The only way you get comfortable is by becoming uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So these practices make you uncomfortable, make all the games uncomfortable. Let's speed it up a little bit this week in practice. Let's see more of you in the game Friday night. See more of what you can do. A lot of work with Cam Ward. He's your guy. You've banked the franchise on this guy. Let's see what you can do and go with Cam Ward. A lot of people are counting on him. Throw him out there.
Yep. I've been one of those people that has said, you know, if he's not ready, then don't play him. I know they're not going to do that, and I've accepted that. He's not ready. I mean, the truth is he is not ready to be the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. The fact is he's going to be the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. So you have to hope that he has the work ethic and the mental, you know, the IQ, the football IQ enough to power through that. I believe he does.
Yeah.
I think he definitely has, you know, all the physical abilities. And then the big thing is that I'm really unsure of, are the coaches good enough to coach him through that and to make him better while also, you know, probably struggling at the same time?
Well, you know, we talked about it with Tim last week. I mean, you got the offensive, you got the coordinator in your ear, you got Bo Hardigree, a quarterback coach in your ear, you got the head coach in your ear as the offensive coordinator. There's a lot of people talking to you right
now.
You're
talking to receivers and different people. Now, all indications are he and Calvin Ridley have figured it out, that they're on the same page. And that's all great and everything, but there are 31 other teams, and especially the ones that are on your schedule, that have also figured that out. So you're going to have to come up with, you know, now he had the one, well, technically I guess it was two completions to Lockett. One of them was called back. So can you get on the same page with him? And then some of these other guys that were really not given much of a chance to, they're going to have to step up. Or are there, you know, as the waiver wire happens, I mean, are they going to look elsewhere and bring in some other guys?
I think Cam Ward's most comfortable right now on the field where, you know, your OC, who's not your OC, is not talking to you. Your quarterback coach, who doesn't call the plays, is probably more in your ear than anything else. Reading, I mean, Callahan, again, is the head coach of the team. The head coach of the team. He's got to pay attention to defense. We heard last week, you know, somebody said, "What's your duty today at joint practice?" He's like, "Well, I got to check in on the defense, so Nick Holtz will call the plays." Well, you're confusing Cam Ward even more because Nick Holtz doesn't call the plays because he's not offensive coordinator. Then you got the quarterback coach telling you this. I mean, so there's a lot of things been pounding into Cam Ward's head being talked about. So I'm not a fan of your head coach calling plays because you got to deal with the whole team and this is the quarterback. I know it's a drum we've just beaten nonstop, but same time, I think Cam Ward is more comfortable right now when he's playing than any time else.
And here's the other thing to remember too. When do you learn the most?
When you're failing.
Exactly. when you have successes, when you do something right, you don't really think about it because, hey, I did it right and it worked.
Yeah, right.
When you fail, that's when you go back and go, okay, how can I do this differently where I don't get that same result? And guess what? Rookies fail a lot.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, I'm not comparing him to Peyton Manning, but we keep saying that Peyton Manning's rookie year, he set a record for interceptions.
Kept slinging, man.
Peyton Manning was a first ballot Hall of Famer and one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So you got to just kind of take a step back. Like, everybody that's picking him apart and analyzing every little throw down to the molecule, or just right down to, like, oh, he did this wrong and all this stuff. It's just like,
what? But isn't that what we do? Isn't that what talk radio is?
That's what certain people view talk radio as. I think we're sitting here like it's a cab ride and having a discussion about the football team.
So listen to this.
That's me.
Brett Favre in 1991 was drafted by the Falcons. Atlanta head coach Jerry Glanville did not approve of drafting a Favre, saying it would take a plane crash for him to put Favre into the game. Favre's first pass in an NFL regular season game was an interception that was a pick six. He only attempted four passes in his first season with Atlanta, going 0-for-4, two interceptions.
Wasn't his first completion to himself?
Favre took one other snap, which resulted in a sack for 11-yard loss. Bingo. So one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. I mean, you're going to fail. Then you get better. Aikman, Manning, Elway, all these guys. So for us to think he's going to come in and get him there, the Mahomes storyline doesn't happen.
No.
He's already onto a loaded team with one of the greatest offensive minds of all time. It just happened to come together perfectly for him. It's going to take a while.
And he had a year behind a pretty good quarterback that I don't think gets a lot of credit.
Who, by the way, somebody said he's up for the Hall of Fame, which is ridiculous.
Well, he's
– Alex Smith is not up for the Hall of Fame. Let's stop that right now.
He's eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Eligible.
Yeah.
He's nowhere near a Hall of Fame quarterback.
He's not a Hall of Fame quarterback.
No.
He is a –
decent.
Hall of good.
If that.
Yeah. I mean, no, granted, he was number one pick. And
he was.
Won a Heisman?
Did not.
Did what? Did not win a Heisman.
He played for Urban Meyer at Utah.
Yeah.
Drafted by the Niners.
Yep. So,
I guess to validate Joe's point, I'm eligible to ride the rides, like the tall rides. So, like, it's the same thing as.
Right.
As, what's his name? Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Kansas City.
You're eligible.
That is just an absolutely bizarre comparison. That's why I love you.
That was
it's
good.
The same
no,
thing.
I like it. I like it, though.
Thank
that was
you.
Good. That was good. All right.
Stick to producing. All right.
No, I didn't say that. I said it was good.
No, I'm going to say that.
With that, coming up next, we will talk to John McClain from Houston. By the way, after a review and a week of doing the noon to three, we will end the show with celebrity birthdays. And what day is it?
People wanted it.
They did. So we will do that. John McClain up next, 102.5 The Game.